We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Time to play the game!
It may be the nighttime,
but the sports talk doesn't stop.
Sports talk radio that's live, local,
and not for the faint of heart.
Oh, you did? No!
Sometimes angry.
Loud noises!
Telling it like it is.
You insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
And pretty much always right.
Don't ever argue with the big dog. Big dog is always right.
Text or call 404-741-0929 and be part of the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Live from the Kia Studios, it's time for the John Chuckery Show. Serving you up sports on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome in to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is time for the John Chuckery Show. Here with you on a Friday. We made it to the end of the week. I've been saying, you know, it's been a short week because of the holiday on Monday. But, man, it feels like it's actually been about 2 weeks worth this week in just a few days. So I need a restful weekend to relax from my vacation of a weekend. Anyway, lots to get into with you here this evening. Don't forget the radio.com app is what you should have downloaded, because when you're not in your vehicle and you want to listen to the radio station, it is the easiest way to catch us anywhere on the go. Download that today on your device, like your smartphone, or you got your smart speakers or your tablet or your Commodore 64, your Swatch Watch, your Coleco, your Intellivision, Boombox, whatever you got for a device, just download it onto that. Sports Radio 910 The Game is also helping you stay connected with past shows, interviews, and all the content you need. As always, for more info, go to radio.com/stay connected. Social media for the station, all of it's at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. As always, the best way to follow this show, it's through our personal Twitter handles. Reach myself, that would be at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is back in Midtown producing the show, as always, Jarvis in the building, at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. Busy show for you, even on this Friday night as we head into another weekend with you. D. Orlando Ledbetter will join us coming up a little bit later this hour, as we'll talk to him about some different Falcon news and notes going on. As, of course, the facility starting to open up, we'll see as we get a little bit more clarification of when guys can actually start working out at the building. We know Matt Ryan's been in California doing some stuff. We know Isaiah Oliver had talked about he's been doing some stuff, you know, at some of the local parks and stuff like that. Of course, the Falcons have been engaged in KAV OTAs, which are not just regular OTAs. Those, of course, are kick-ass virtual OTAs, because that's how the Falcons do it. They don't just do virtual OTAs. It's kick-ass virtual OTAs. So we'll talk to him about all the latest goings on with the Atlanta Falcons. And, of course, it is Friday night, so we will end the show with the segment that's bound to get me called in the principal's office at some point. It will be time for Rank 'Em a little bit later on in the show. Want to start, though, as the NBA is trying to finalize all of its plans for what they're going to do, where it looks like Orlando will be the destination for the NBA and how the season is going to continue. Now, Wojbaum tweeting out that he says, owners are largely planning to pledge support for Adam Silver's final recommendation on a plan, which teams expect to include invitations for 20 to 22 teams to resume the season. Now, what they're talking about is the idea of teams that are within six games of a playoff spot, everybody coming back together and getting some game time action in, and then sorting out the final playoff spots and then going from there. Now, what's interesting is, and we'll talk about the Hawks aspect of this in the next segment, but ESPN put out a report about how they had surveyed all the general managers in the NBA. And the NBA general managers, of course, there's 30, you know, of them. 16 of the general managers said they would just prefer the league to come back with just the typical 16 playoff teams based on where the seedings are and just go into the playoffs. 8 GMs voted to resume the regular season with all 30 teams, followed then by a play-in tournament. 5 votes went to go straight to the playoffs with either a play-in tournament or a World Cup-style group stage, and 1 vote for resume the regular season and then go straight to the playoffs. So what the NBA general managers, first off, have it right. And we played the clip from Doris Burke. Remember, if it was last night or the night before, where, you know, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to try to get all 30 teams to come back in one spot and deal with that and the logistics of it and travel and this, that, and the other and exposure and things like that, safety, blah, 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 you know, just keep checking off all the different boxes to it. But I was glad to see that a majority of the general managers, and really by a 2-1 margin over the next closest plan, just bring the 16 teams back and get to playoff basketball. Now, we're going to talk a little bit later in the show with What's Bugging Chuckery tonight about Gary Bettman in the NHL, because he's at it again. Every time he opens his mouth, now, how about this? Just when you think you've heard him say the dumbest thing ever, he goes and opens his mouth again. But I keep going back to the fact of, we don't need gimmicks. You know, right now the sports fan doesn't need you to gimmick up anything to solve our sports thirst. Just get back. We don't need 20 teams and a few games and a round-robin tournament and, Open Cup style. And we don't need all that. We don't need it from the NHL. We don't need it from the NBA. Just bring the teams back as is and start playing. Just telling me that it's the playoffs alone is enough for me. Why do we have to just gimmick? Everything has to be a wrestling angle. Everything has to be a wrestling gimmick. I guess it is Friday, so we'll be watching SmackDown here in an hour. But everything has to be a gimmick and an angle. It can't just be something simple. 16 teams that are going to make the playoffs, you know, seed them as normal. Here's the season. It's over. It's done. Let's go get some playoff basketball. We'll get this thing wrapped up, and then we'll go into the offseason. And as I said before, the NBA and the NHL should take a page out of the NFL playbook. We've seen how the NFL gets it right, because they're not gimmicking anything. We're gonna hold the draft. We know we can't get everybody together. We'll put Roger Goodell in his basement. He'll do phony sounds and wave to people that aren't actually there or can see him, and we'll just run a draft. We'll have the combine. We'll have free agency. We'll just do it. We don't need any special gimmicks or anything like this. It's Roger in his basement with his smoking robe and a pipe and somebody handing him a Doers and water on the rocks, and just say, the Falcons with the 16th pick take A.J. Terrell. That's all. Just give us that. And we didn't have 25 different broadcasts, you know, ESPN, NFL Network. We're going to get together and do one broadcast, and that's it. Here you go. We don't need 17 different angles of it, this, that, and that. Here's the 6 guys we got. Here's the broadcast. Straight ahead. Beep, bada, boop, bop, bop. Let's go. That's it. That's it. We don't need all the other stuff to go along with it. Just give me the playoffs. NHL fans, just give you the playoffs. NBA fans, just give me the playoffs. Bring the 16 teams back that have qualified, and let's go. But everybody has to overthink. And I understand, look, and this is where we'll get the Gary Bettman part of it. I understand there's a lot of money involved. But reality is, these teams are not going to recoup the money that they've lost. It is what it is. It's a financial loss at this point. If you can get the playoffs in, obviously, that will help. won't solve all the ills and all the issues and things, and it won't recover everything. But certainly the playoffs will help, and the TV networks will be grateful. And look, for the NHL, you know, we talked to ESPN's, you know, lead NHL writer. With no Olympics, that helps the NHL. You know, because they're hooked up with NBC. Okay. Now NBC can say, all right, we've got some sports programming. We don't have the Olympics, but hey, you know, depending on how long the NHL season is going to go, at least we got some, you know, we got some playoff hockey or whatever. Okay. Just get to it. So we'll see what the NBA decides to do in finale. And this is an interesting article in talking about some of the things that NBA GMs have said in this survey about flexibility with their rosters. You know, maybe add a couple of spots on the roster. Of course, I don't know where you're going to get players and things. I mean, but they talked about expanding the roster. They've also talked about kind of taking away the limitations about, you know, if you get injuries and stuff like that, they have more flexibility in their roster and things like that. So, I mean, they'll certainly do some things to change up, you know, the team dynamic. And look, I get the fact that the NBA, NHL needs to get something under their belt as far as some games and things like that. Okay. Well, you can still take the teams that are going to be in the playoffs and have some scrimmages. Oh, yeah, but they may reveal something. All right, I got news for you. Hate to break your heart, sweetheart, but teams in your own conference, they've got all the tape and video and everything like that. Okay? Ain't fooling nobody at this point. So if you need some warm-up games after a couple of weeks of training camp and things like that to get guys back, fine. Have some scrimmages. Bring the 16 teams down to Orlando. Do it cross league style. So, you know, Eastern Conference, Western Conference, do those kinds of matchups with teams so that you don't take away any competitive advantage that whatever the Lakers may get by playing the, I don't know, who's one of their playoff teams, by playing whoever, Utah or whatever. You know, fine, okay. Play the Eastern Conference teams. Let the Lakers do some scrimmaging against the Bucks or whoever, or the Miami Heat or whoever is in the playoffs. Hell, I don't even know the final standings and stuff like that. It's been so long since I've looked at who all the playoff teams are. You know, Toronto or whatever. Fine. Okay. Let them do all that. We don't need to gimmick it up, though. Bring the teams back. Get it going. I think that's all fans want, isn't it? I mean, at this point, we're not going to be impressed with a sideshow and this and that. I think as sports fans, we would all agree that just get me some regular action. You know, NASCAR started off with, okay, we're not going to have any qualifying, so just line them up and let's race. Here we go. No qualifying, no warm-ups, things like that. Now, I understand that's different, but I'm just saying from the standpoint of they didn't have, like, some hot shot event to get the season started to find out who's on the pole position, this, then, just line them up and let's race. Good. Let's do that. Line them up and let's play. Get some scrimmage games in. It wouldn't be that hard to do. Get everybody down there after a couple of weeks of training camp and then get this thing going. And by all accounts, too, it does look like that Orlando will be the destination place for all of this. All right, lots to get into when we get back. So the Hawks, there are several proposals out there. Is there any benefit to the Hawks coming back to play 5 or 6 games? I'm amazed at how many people think that there is. We'll discuss that next. It is the John Chuckery Show, live here on a Friday with you. Sports Radio 910 The Game and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back at it on the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Friday evening. 404-741-0929. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. It is open and ready for business if you want to leave us a comment there. We'll talk to the Orlando Ledbetter coming up in the next segment, talk about some Falcon stuff going on. As always, follow us on social media, stations at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Don't forget the Radio.com app as well. Download that to be able to catch us anywhere you are on the go. So while nothing has been set in stone with what the NBA is going to do, one of the proposals that is out there is the fact of bringing all the teams back to play even if it's a very modified regular season schedule. Might even be like 5 or 6 games. That's what a lot of people think. And that's as much to give guys a chance to get their sea legs back underneath them and get some games in as much as it is anything else. You know, to get teams ready to make the playoff run and kind of have a uniform finish across the league for a regular season. You have teams that have played, you know, different games. They've talked about, you know, okay, is 72 like the magic number? And that's where the season, you know, would end, okay? Now, obviously, if that means the teams come back, that obviously does include the Atlanta Hawks. Now, the question then becomes, if you're bringing teams back, and let's focus in on the Hawks, does it make any sense? Is there anything to be gained? Now, Travis Schlenk did talk with Chris Kirshner, our buddy from The Athletic, who covers the Atlanta Hawks. And Schlenk has said that they are preparing as if that the season will resume at some point and that they will be a part of it. Quote, my message has been that it feels like we're gaining positive momentum, so it's time to start changing our mental mindset from hiatus status to we're coming back and to also start ramping up our workouts because we don't want to be in a situation where we come back and we have a bunch of soft tissue injuries because guys are out of shape. Then he goes on to say about the return of the Hawks, we would play our guys. The more time we can play our guys together, the better it is for us. To be able to see guys we made trades for play with our guys, those would be valuable minutes for us. Now, the rumor and innuendo, as we say in the wrestling podcast world, is that if the Hawks were to come back and, let's say, play a 5 or 6 game type of season, that Clint Capella would be part of that, that you would get a chance to see him play in a few of these games with John Collins and Trae Young and Herder and this group of guys. Now, we know, obviously, Capella, part of the trade, comes over from Houston. You know, a really nice acquisition. At least I think it's a really nice acquisition to bring him over to give them some defensive presence and rebounding. But we haven't seen him up to this point. You know, injuries and things like that. And there really hasn't been a need to rush him back anything because the Hawks aren't playing for anything out there. But does it make sense? You know, I was reading my guy, and I'll say he's my guy, Bo Bach. I was reading his column about how he thinks it would be great for the Hawks to come back and play 5 or 6 games and get these guys a chance to gel and things like that. I take the 180-degree opposite approach. I think there's nothing to be gained for the Atlanta Hawks to try to come back and play. What's the point of coming back and trying to organize and get yourself scheduled and things like that to come back and play 5 or 6 meaningless games? What do you really learn by all of that? Well, they're valuable minutes. To what? You're playing up against a bunch of teams that don't care. It's not going to mean anything. The season's not going to be affected in a lot of ways. Season's certainly not going to be affected by the Atlanta Hawks. What's their motivation to have to win? And in the back of everybody's mind, whether you like this or not, in the back of everybody's mind, it's, holy crap, we're here in Orlando. Are we going to get COVID-19? Who's going to be the next Rudy Gobert? And that's a real thing. And Kevin Love has been talking about this. We talked about the story several weeks ago about the mental aspect of and things like that. You know, I think a lot would be weighing on these guys' mind, especially as you're talking about bringing everybody back in there. You know? You don't think guys swap stories about, oh, yeah, man, I got tested and I had this, or, man, remember the last time we were together? I mean, you're bound to have it. It's human nature. It's human that you can't avoid what's going on in the world with all of this and why we're at the point of this is the sports situation. So I just don't know how you get teams that have nothing to play for to really want to buy in and focus. After you heard guys like Damian Lillard say, unless I'm playing for a playoff spot, I'm not coming. I'll be there, but I won't play. Why risk the injury and things like that? I just don't know that getting 5 or 6 games in and risking a Trae Young injury, okay, is worth the minutes together that those guys have. And especially even for some of the younger guys who, if there is any sort of summer league or anything like that, you want those guys to participate in that. That's a different thing. Get your rookies and some of your, you know, second-year guys to participate in your summer league. You know, Trey Young wouldn't be a part of that. Collins wouldn't be a part of that. Clint Capella, those guys wouldn't be a part of it. But your rookies and your second-year guys, that's where they get some valuable, you know, time and some coaching and learning. Because let's face it, how much coaching are you going to have right now? This is, we got to hurry up and get everybody back together. And it almost, it almost feel like if we're playing five or six games, let's get in, get out, not get hurt. I mean, wouldn't that be kind of your mindset as a player? Let's get in, get out for these five or six games. If I'm not playing for anything, let me get in, let me get out, okay? Let me try to make sure I don't get hurt and things like that. I just don't see how, and especially if you're talking about a guy like Clint Capella, who is coming off injury. Now he's coming off an extended injury. Now he's going to have a shortened up period where he hasn't even been really playing any basketball. Now we're going to throw him into the mix of games. I just don't see where that's a benefit for a team like the Atlanta Hawks. I just don't think that there is anything to be gained by it at this point. You know, the Hawks have had a nice chance to get minutes with Collins and Herter and Trey Young. But, you know, Clint Capella, think of him as a free agent acquisition. That's part of the deal that comes with it. That he'll have to learn the system. You know, listen, now if you want to tell me the Hawks get back together for workouts and some practice and things like that while the playoffs go on, sure, I'm for that. If you want to have that kind of team dynamic and things like that. But I just don't see where loading up the Partridge family bus and heading on down to Orlando and hanging out at Walt Disney World for a couple of weeks or whatever like that, just to get back on the Partridge family bus, pick up a couple of Braves prospects on the way to ship them back to Gwinnett and then head back up to Atlanta, I just don't see where there's a big benefit to that. I just don't think that the minutes that Travis Schlenk talks about these guys getting back together is worth the risk of what could happen long term. Because here's the thing. Going into this next season, okay, forget 2019-2020. Let's talk about 2020-2021. Okay? No matter what the Hawks do in the offseason, whether they sign a big guy, they trade for, you know, big name, whatever. Forget that for a second. We know that as of right now, they should have a fairly high draft pick. I think they have the fourth best lottery chance to get the number one pick right now as it stands in the NBA. And if it stays that way, okay. So they have the fourth best odds of getting the number one pick. Now, we've learned from the Hawks it doesn't mean anything. They had a better chance to get the number one pick last year than the eighth spot, and they still ended up eighth. So you would expect, though, the Hawks have a pretty good-sized draft pick coming. Let's say a top six pick. Let's hope and let's throw you know, pie in the sky and see what falls and land. And let's say they get a top six pick. So you got this roster. Capella's coming back, top six pick. Even if nothing else happens, okay, the expectation is it's time to start turning the corner and win some games. The Hawks were on a pace to not win as many games this year as they did last year. And I know the first thing everybody's going to point to is John Collins missed 25 games, but they don't want to talk about the 20 games he missed the year before. So, I don't, you know, going into next season, to me, at this point, that's what it's about for the Atlanta Hawks. To me, it's about focusing on how do we get ready for next year. And I don't think that includes playing time in meaningless games, loading up everybody to head down for a week or two, and then come right back. You want to stay here in Atlanta and get workouts in and things like that as we move into the next phases of reopening and things like that? You know, what is it? Is it this weekend that bars and stuff like that are allowed to open up, right? I mean, or coming first the next week or whatever? Right? Bars and nightclubs and all that can slowly start to reopen. Imagine what that's going to be like, by the way, too. Nightclubs opening back up with social distancing, things like that. Man, the hell's the point of that? The last thing I want to do is head down to a bar. You know, the last thing, let me tell you, the last thing that would have been on my mind when I headed down to Bell Bottoms in the old days was trying to social distance or touch isolate. That's for when I go home if nobody came along. That's what you do then. Not when I'm at the bar. I don't want to touch isolate or social distance. Hell, I want to do everything opposite. I can do all that stuff at home if I strike out. But anyway, so we know things are starting to open back up, and maybe, you know, as Georgia has joined the list of states, you know, along with Pennsylvania, Texas, New York, California, Florida, about opening things back up and getting professional sports getting back into the fold. You want to bring guys in and have workouts and things like that? I'm for that. To work on some specific things, defense, three-point shooting, things that the Hawks really have to focus on at this point. So, me personally, you know, while some people have said that they think it's a good thing if the Hawks, not me. And even if that means Clint Capela, you know, doesn't get a chance to have played any minutes at all in Atlanta Hawks uniform, so be it. That's no different than, you know, how many regular season games before he came to the Lakers did LeBron James get a chance to play? Don't they have the best record in the Western Conference right now? Get good guys, put them together. You know, how about Cowie and those guys? They didn't get to play in L.A. before, you know, signing a free agent deal. That's how you just have to think about it. Yeah, it was a trade and he could have been here, but okay. Get rest, get workouts in. I'd much rather have Clint Capela here, getting workouts in, working out, doing shoot-arounds, getting some practice time in, things like that, than heading down to Orlando in a strange environment to play quote-unquote games in the NBA for the sake of finishing up a season that doesn't mean anything, that you're not going to get a participation trophy or what have you. Now, if you're telling me the players want a paycheck, okay, I guess. I mean, at this point, you know, unless you're one of the playoff teams, you're probably not going to see really any kind of money. Focus on the offseason. And I understand, look, Travis Schlenk as general manager have to say that their team has to be ready to play. Now, I don't know if you threw the Wonder Woman lasso of truth around Travis Schlenk. Would he want to bring guys back and load them up and take them down into meaningless basketball games and run the risk? It just seems like the risk outweighs the reward for the few games. You know, if it was like 20 games or something like that the Hawks are going to play, okay, I'd be on board. But 5 or 6 games, because that's really all you're talking about, I just don't see it. Keep them up here. Keep them in Atlanta. Let them do their thing. All right, when we get back, D. Orlando Ledbetter, Falcons beat writer for the AJC, will join us next. It is the John Chuckery Show, hanging out on a Friday evening, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, welcome back into the John Chuckery Show with you here on a Friday evening, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, if you want to leave us a comment there. On social media, stations at 19 on the game. Catch me at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Well, as the Falcons get some off-season work in, we're hearing about guys getting together and doing some kind of like mini get-togethers and things like that. Matt Ryan out in California, Isaiah Oliver and such. Trying to get ready as hopefully here soon we'll get some guidelines as to when players can actually get back to facilities and maybe a potential training camp and things like that. Here to help us sort it all out, let's head out on the WadeFord.com hotline. He's our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter, of course, Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Check him out on Twitter. It's at D. Orlando AJC. As always, D. Led, thanks for joining us. Hope you and the family are safe and healthy and everybody's good, man.
Yeah, John, thank you. Everything's going pretty good. We're trying to, you know, shelter in place still, despite, you know, the opening of the state and so forth. But no need to go anywhere. So we're going to just stay right here for now.
You know, D-Lad, I just mentioned about, you know, Matt Ryan's out in California doing some stuff. You know, I know he does stuff with Tom House's camp out there, and you know, Isaiah Oliver, we read you had put the articles out there, you know, he was getting together with some guys at some different parks and stuff like that, and the NFL came out and said that they were okay with that, you know, as long as they, you know, they put out their, you know, their kind of 30,000 foot talking point of, you know, as long as they follow the state guidelines and this, that, and the other. I'm curious if you're hearing that, you know, are the Falcons encouraging guys to do some of this? I mean, from the standpoint of, you know, at least getting guys to get together and do some workouts. If the Falcons or teams, are you hearing about kind of encouraging the idea of guys getting together right now to start getting back into some at least, you know, sort of football activities?
No, they can't really do that because, there's liability issues. They can say, hey, you can go work out, but if you get hurt, we can't really pay for it. So, they can't really tacitly do that. because of the workers' comp laws and so forth. But guys are doing it anyway, as we see from Matt Ryan actually violating the league's travel ban. You know, the guys can't come and get their physicals, but he's going to travel to California to allegedly work out and so forth when, you know, they're not supposed to be traveling at all.
D-Led, what are we hearing about? We know that facilities have opened to a very limited amount of personnel. Dan Quinn, you know, he sided with Mike Tomlin about the idea of nobody should start until everybody can kind of start back up. Are we hearing anything about when coaches will start coming back to the facility and then obviously try to slowly migrate some players and things like that in? As we've seen, you know, in the NBA, the Hawks are getting back at it. MLS is getting back at it. What's kind of the next step that you're hearing about when NFL teams can start to bring some more people in?
Yeah, Commissioner Goodell stated that some of the coaches will be back in the building next week or so. And so we'll see, you know, we need to confirm whether the Falcons coaches will be coming back into the building. But they don't want anybody practicing on their field with a competitive advantage before everybody can do that. So we're pretty much going to be going all the way, pushing all the way up to you know, training camp date. So that's late July and so forth. I think the mandatory mini camps will skip, but the coaches might be in the back in the building next week to start getting things together. They're going to extend the virtual camps for a couple weeks because some states are in, some states are not. So to keep the competitive advantage in the same place, they're shooting for everybody being back at the start of training camp in late July on the field.
D. Orlando Ledbetter joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Of course, Atlanta Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We're going to talk about your article a little bit later about the latest article about the Falcons' cap relief and things like that, and, you know, the 51 rule and things like that will help the Falcons out and stuff like that. If I say to you, what position, not even necessarily player, but what position do you think the Falcons need to target first and foremost, given when you look at the configuration of their roster as is?
Yeah, I think it's cornerback because you are getting ready to go into a season with a first-round pick who hasn't played, a second-round pick who's been having a tough time, and a fourth-round pick in the slot as your top three cornerbacks. So there's some veteran cornerbacks out there, Ryan Logan, Darquez Dennard, Trumaine Johnson. Eli Apple went to the Panthers yesterday, so I would believe that, you know, quarterback would be the spot you would go to if you can get somebody on a deal. Their pass rush is always an issue. Clay Matthews is out there, but what does he want to play for? Does he want to play at a real low salary, $3-4 million? They certainly, Jadeveon Clowney clearly doesn't want to play at a low salary. He would have took one of the offers that he's had so far. So, defensive pass rush, cornerback are the key spot where, you know, they can look to maybe, you know, buttress the roster at here in late free agency.
Do you think, D-Led, that there's a chance that there's any more veterans that could be cut? You know, could, if it doesn't shake out at left guard, could a Carpenter or a Brown, if one of those guys can't win that starting job, could one of those guys still be on the chopping block? Is there somebody that maybe is still, you know, maybe not completely secure on this roster as a veteran?
Yeah, I think Jalen Brown is. You know, they want to come back and see if James Carpenter is healthy or not. They want the left. They want the draft pick to take the spot and then be the heir apparent to Alex Mack. But, you know, you got insurance, so you got roster insurance. You know, people get hurt along the line. James Carpenter's good insurance. They saw last year that Jalen Brown was not good insurance. So, you know, I would look at those two guys as possible candidates for that. And they signed the kid from McCray, and you got Matt Ganot, still here, and Sean Harlow. So you got some insurance options at guard, but you know, they want the kid from Temple to come in and take that spot. But unseating a first-round pick like James Carpenter is going to be hard for a rookie. If James is healthy, you know, he wasn't healthy last year. He wasn't able to – he's a power blocker. They're trying to run outside zone. So, you know, he's at a disadvantage on how they want to move forward.
D-Led, we know that Todd Gurley is going to be on a pitch count no matter when, what, if the season and how it all shakes out. Obviously coming off, you know, his fewest touches and things like that, you know, and fewest carries per game and things like that. So then that begs the question of who do you think the organization likes amongst Brian Hill, Kadri Allison, Ito Smith? Who do you think that they like among that group to really kind of take that RB2 spot?
Yeah, they really like Ito Smith. You know, he got hurt last year. He was running very well between the inside zone schemes and so forth. And he did a good job before he, you know, had the neck injury and so forth. So they have an issue with getting him back on. And, he's a guy that Ito Smith is a guy that they like and think he can come back and help him out.
Talking about this shit, D-Led, you sound like you're at the drive-thru putting an order in, man. You okay over there?
No, Zoom like... meeting just came back up, and I got the audio back down. Sorry about that.
That's all right. It's all right. D. Orlando Ledbetter, Falcons beat writer for the AJC, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. You know, one guy that we haven't talked a lot about, D-Led, that I think has a chance to be very intriguing in this offense because of his size and speed, and I know he hasn't lived up to the hype, but I really like Laquon Treadwell, and I think that you talk about a guy that if they could get creative in the red zone, I think there's a lot of ways to use him. We haven't heard much about him. What's the feeling about Treadwell and the role he can play for this team this year?
Well, Dirk Cutter really likes him. He can catch the ball. He's a big guy, so he's a big target. Matt likes big targets, so that's a bonus for him. He would be a replacement for a Mohamed Sanu type of big target guy running out of the slot. You know, the issues for him were that he couldn't get open in Minnesota. He didn't have a lot of short area speed quickness. But, you know, he caught a lot of balls at Mississippi, and, you know, he has good hands. So with the Falcons setup, he might be a guy that's going to be open. So you might not be worrying about him trying to get open because he's going to be open because everybody's going to be trying to cover Julio and Calvin Ridley. So he's a guy that might be open. He can throw in the ball. He's dependable. He can get the job done.
D-Led, last thing for you. With obviously very limited contact, I mean, other than, you know, as we joke here on the show, the KAV OTAs that the Falcons are engaged in. You know, they got their kick-ass virtual OTAs that they're involved in. How big of a learning curve do you think it's going to be for the rookies? When we look back on this season when it's over, you know, are the rookies, you know, are we going to lose maybe a quarter of the season where they're trying to figure it out, half the season? I mean, how do you think we're going to end up looking at this rookie class? Maybe all rookies, I guess, that, you know, for that matter, across the league.
Yeah, I think a fourth of the season. Jamie Dukes used to always tell me that, hey, until they get four games on tape on you, you know, they don't really know what you have. And so that first four games, unless they roll the dice and send them out there anyway, despite, you know what they're going to do practice-wise, you know, I'm thinking the first four games. I'm thinking you can't really run A.J. Terrell out there unless, you know, Julio Jones is getting him ready, Ridley's getting him ready, and you're comfortable with the – if you get the full training camp and the four exhibition games, then, you know, you might be comfortable enough to run him out there. They did that with Trufant, but they weren't ready for Offer. Offer took six games before he got in there, second-round pick. So – you know, as far as Marlon Davidson, yeah, he's in the trenches, so he might can come out the gate and play. The guard, Hennessy, no, I don't think he can do that. I don't think you can play him right off the bat without knowing. You got to ease him in the back end of games, get him some time, and then, you know, get comfortable with him. The coaches aren't going to be comfortable with him based on training camp and a couple exhibition games. And if they are, that's a big gamble on their part.
Well, it sure is, and it's going to be fascinating to see where the next steps take us. Follow him on Twitter. He's always got all your good Falcon information there. It's at TheOrlandoAJC. Of course, D-Led is the Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and joined us here on the WaitForItDay.com hotline. D-Led, as always, be safe, brother. Have fun. Be good. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you here soon.
Sure, no problem, John. You and you and Jarvis, you all stay safe, but thanks for having me on the show.
You got it, man. When we come back from the top of the hour, the Power Five gets it. They don't want to sit around and wait for the NCAA. Let's get this thing going now. We'll talk about the story. It's up next. It is the John Chuckery Show, Friday night with you here on Sports Radio, 92 on the game and on the radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.